Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Jonathan Salem-Baskin is with us, folks. Jonathan is a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's a global brand expert. He's been working on this for decades. He's the author of Branding Only Works on Cattle. I like that title. I've been telling you about that book for a long time. And he's got a new work called The Histories, with an S on the end, of social media. Apparently there's more than one. Jonathan Salem-Baskin, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Good morning. Thanks for having me again.
It's good to have you back. Jonathan, I just wanted to lay out a couple of things and then let you weave your thoughts on your new work. By the way, which congratulations on it.
Thank you.
Number one, face-to-face is the original social media. And number two, all this social media stuff is not about new rules. It's about new tools. What do you think?
I love that rhyming, and I'm gonna steal it. It seems like, Jim, every time we talk, you say something, and I then conveniently borrow it.
Well, now you have to attribute it to me the first time. You have to mention it as someone what you know said the second time, and the third time it becomes yours.
Gotcha. And then fourth, I have to be eternally grateful.
That's right. That's exactly right. And send me the commish. Go ahead.
Absolutely, Jim. I think you're right. Social media, the word society and social are based on the same Latin root, which is people interacting, people doing things together. So arguably, we've been social ever since we've been social, right? The first cavemen who organized a club and said, let's, share paint to paint the walls. It was a social media experience. The media were different, and the media consistently through time has been talking, has been face-to-face. I was watching one of the founders of Facebook on CNN over this weekend talking about how this Egyptian, and you mentioned it in your intro, the stuff going on in Egypt was being driven by social media. And I'm thinking to myself, tell that to George Washington or to Vladimir Lenin. They didn't have Facebook, they didn't have Twitter, yet they had revolutions.
Right.
And I think that common thread is the value of face-to-face. And when you're thinking of a small business, that's kind of where it all starts anyway. I've been maintaining for years that small businesses and anybody in the B2B space has been in the social media business since before we had a term for
that's
it.
That's right. But one thing that is happening, and this is something I started talking about at the end of the last decade, the last century, I should say, and that is that change isn't different today from 10 years ago or 10 years ago from 100 years ago. Change isn't different, but the velocity of change is different. And that's what the new tools are putting a rocket under change. What do you think?
Yeah, and I agree on one level, Jim.
In terms of generations.
Yeah, I sense the change in my life, and I see the speed. And not only change is sped up, but also that means that the tools for change have themselves sped up. The fact that now, we used to write one another letters, then we used to leave each other talk on the phone and then leave voicemails and then send emails and then send tweets. The wording and the characters literally are now 140 characters on a tweet. I'm thinking the successor to Twitter will be shorter and faster. it'll be a burp. It'll be a gesture.
Right. We'll have 1,000 emoticons or 10,000 emoticons. You just pick a face out.
Truthfully, Jim, that may be a hell of a lot more efficient in a lot of respects.
So more entertaining.
Oh, definitely. But I also see that a lot of times the faster tools and the briefer tools also accomplish less. And it's an interesting phenomenon. And again, this is one of the things I saw when I looked at the kind of the histories of social experience and social behavior, and that is usually the common thread is word of mouth, as you said, is face-to-face. But the other common thread, it's part of that really, is outcome of behavior. Things have to happen for societies or social things to count.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to say I've come up with a faster, better, more frequently changing way to entertain you or get your attention. But I also see with that people doing less with it. So I could tweet you, and if I'm running a small business, I could tweet you 40 times a day. But if all I'm doing is making you look at your handheld 40 times a day and either chuckle or go, or ignore it, not only am I not accomplishing something, I'm actually, well, what I'm accomplishing is I'm probably wasting your time.
Well, you're, exactly, we're talking being, both of us are being unproductive.
Yeah, absolutely, and nobody benefits from that. So
right.
I'm seeing that as, excuse me, as the mechanisms get faster and briefer and the change speeds up, it's almost a challenge to us to kind of, I'm not saying pause or slow down, but I am saying think about what we're trying to accomplish. And actually, the business person today has the exact same challenge ahead of her or him that was ahead of the business person in 1811 or 1711 mm-hmm. or 1611. And that is, who are you selling to? What are you selling them? Why do they value you? And what are you doing to make sure you keep their business? And it sounds quaint.
Right.
But
no, it's all about, it's all those things, and why should they care?
Yeah, and again, getting back to Egypt, and I was just thinking of this again when I was listening to the introduction. So I'm running a small shop on the streets of Cairo. What's social media mean to me during this crazy time? Well, you know what? It actually means me reaching out, being able to have a conversation with my customers and say, for one thing, like, hey, guys, stay home. I'm closed today. Hey, guys, I have bread today, and it'll be open from 4 to 7. Come by and come in the back door. It's, you know, being able to communicate with my employees saying, don't come in today.
Mm-hmm.
Or where are your parents and your kids? Are they safe? It's those kind of uses on a personal basis versus, I think, a lot of these broad-based ideas thinking that we're going to use social media to just kind of speak out to the world. You know,
so,
the fact that I can read about Egypt on Facebook is entertaining to me sitting here in Chicago, Illinois. But like the Iranian unrest, you know what I do? I read it, I go, wow, interesting, click, and I move on.
So in a minute we have left, wrap up this what we're saying here for us.
Well, punchline is, I think it's 2011. There are more ways to communicate with your customers than ever before. I think the challenge and the lessons of history is that you don't need new rules for this stuff. As a matter of fact, if you think you're following new rules, you're missing the boat.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually missing the rules. The rules
mm-hmm.
that apply now are the same rules that apply to our grandparents, and they're more important now. I get back to it.
Yeah.
Who are you selling to? How do they matter to you? How do you matter to them? And what are you doing to make that relationship
the
valuable?
Rules haven't changed,
nope.
Only the tools.
I love
and
that.
And see,
too.
This is what I've been saying for a long time about small business owners making sure that they don't think about Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
Those are just devices.
Yep.
The whole thing is about building customer communities, which, as you pointed out, Jonathan, has been going on for millennia.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Folks, it's all about the face-to-face. It's all about, and face-to-face, you can use that metaphorically if you want to. It's all about the connection. It's all about creating community. I'm telling you, in 3 years, we won't care about Twitter. 5 years, we won't care about Facebook. There'll be something else, but you'll still be building communities. Jonathan Salem-Baskin is our guest. His new book is called Histories of Social Media. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's BPLANS.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Ah, the joys of running your own business. The excitement of facing challenges head on. Being trampled by overpowering employment laws with steeper fines and harsher penalties. Having productivity ripped away. Choking on red tape as you sink under the oppressive weight of government intrusion. But don't worry. A good dose of financial health-inhibiting healthcare reform should do the trick, right? The Administaff Co-Employment Solution gives you the tools and resources to stay compliant, regain focus, achieve your goals, and beat the odds. We'll stand shoulder to shoulder to help bear the burden, share the employment risk, and give you the freedom to bring your dreams back to life. It's what we do. Take back control of your business. Make the call. 877-273-6011 or visit administaff.com today.
Hey, Richard, ready for the big presentation?
Yes, I am.
He's all ready. His men are named Eddie, and he's as ready will ever be.
I didn't know your middle name was Eddie. I couldn't help but notice you have a Broadway chorus with you.
Well, I wanted to make a big impression for the presentation.
Big, 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 big. He's making it big, incredibly big.
Well, if you really wanted to impress, you could have gone to FedEx Office. They'd help you print, copy, and finish your presentation.
FedEx Office. Is there one nearby?
Is it far?
Really far?
Can we get there by car?
We could get lost.
Or bitten by frost.
Or maybe eaten by a jaguar.
Roar.
That's not annoying at all. Actually, there are nearly 1,700 FedEx Office locations. I use the one around the corner.
Hey, isn't there one around the corner?
Yes, I just said they
help. You really should have known about FedEx Office. Not a lot of words rhyme with FedEx Office.
We understand. You want support close by. FedEx Office has nearly 1,700 convenient locations.
Welcome back, 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for bringing us back, for listening to us, continuing to listen to us. Little ZZ Top bringing us in there, and I'm excited about being here with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Jonathan Salem Baskin is our guest. He's our good friend. He's deposited a body of work on that website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, over the years as a member of our Brain Trust and a number of our interviews that we've done with him. Hope you go there and find out what he has had to say. And, Jonathan, give us your website. Tell us how we can find your book.
Well, I'm Jonathan Salem Baskin, Salem like the cigarettes and Baskin like the ice cream, .com. And my new book, Histories of Social Media, is on Amazon. Or if you put it all together into one word, historiesofsocialmedia.com, you'll see the website. And I also post a daily essay taking an event in history, and I apply it to the social experience today. So hopefully it's a lot of fun to read. I know I have fun writing it.
And why plural? Why histories? Why not just history?
Yeah, well, in so much that I think one of our mistakes when we think about social media today is we see it through the lens of technology, and specifically the Internet. So there's a official, not an official, but sort of a given that there's a history of social media that starts with things like Internet Relay Chat and then the World Wide Web and the Internet and what have you. And I wanted to really point out that, you know, if you take technology off the table, we've been doing social media and social things since cave times. So there are really actually a lot of histories of social media, and I wanted to explore them in this book, again, applying them to what does that mean for today and tomorrow, because everybody loves a good read about history. Well, not everybody, but it's certainly, if I can make it relevant to what's going on today, I thought there'd be a, 2,000 years of experience would probably help business owners to make better decisions.
Well, you know, when I first started contemplating social media a few years ago, as we now know it, and as you may know, Jonathan, I don't even like the term social media. I think it's unfortunate for business because I think the term, you know, you can say whatever you want to, folks, but if you're a business owner, when you say social media, you should be thinking, how do I build online customer communities or customer communities, and some of them being online, because that's what it's all about. Because as every day that goes by, Jonathan, customers want to be more part of a community and less a part of a demographic. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Jim. And it's really a pretty profound idea. You know, we use the word community so broadly now when we talk about social technology. Join my community, click on my Facebook page, what have you, follow me on Twitter. You know, through all of human history, if you held those up as examples of community, people would have either looked at you cross-eyed or they would have laughed out loud. Because communities are a central structure of the way people live and the way they experience life. There are dimensions to communities that aren't reflected when we just look at them, to your point, as technology tools. You know, so if you look at the way people have lived in communities throughout history, there's been a quid pro quo. When you're in a community, not only is it to give you things, but it's actually for you to give it things. People feel membership when they're actually doing something, not just stopping by. People join communities when they have a need. It's one thing to click on a YouTube community because you like watching funny videos, but want is not the same as need. And anybody in the small business world knows that the way you sell stuff isn't just because people want it. It's really because they need it, and you've helped them understand why they need it, or you've understood their needs and sold to them. So there are these dimensions to community that have been true throughout all time, and I sometimes think that when we just look at it as technology, we kind of conveniently forget that. So a little bit of the heavy lifting required, Jim, that mm-hmm. it isn't as easy as just starting a web page or starting a feed or saying things out to the cosmos and hoping people reply. So I agree with you. I think community is central, but you know, when you think about your community, you're sitting around the table today with your team thinking about the community of your customers or your suppliers or your vendors. Strip away the technology part of it for a minute. Don't let the words Facebook, Twitter, or anything else come out of your mouth. And talk about the nature of what that community you've built or that you want to build.
And what it takes to serve that community. What does that community want? What is it?
Absolutely.
Why have those people come? Why have they become part of the community? How can you serve them? And I'll tell you something, Jonathan, I do think that there is one thing that's changed. There is one thing that the technology and the new social media regimes have done. I do think that it has given a little bit more voice, a little bit more power to the consumer than they've had before, because it's allowed them to talk to each other in ways that they used to not be able to. You know, word of mouth has now become UGC, user-generated content.
Right, right.
And that's UGC has put word of mouth on steroids.
Yeah, and I'm with you.
Or is word of mouth on steroids.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Jim, except that I do see that you're right. I mean, you used to have to go call your friend or write him a letter or bump into him on the street to share opinions about a brand or a product or service. Now you can click online and share it with strangers worldwide.
Which creates a community.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I completely agree with that. It does. It creates a community of sorts, but just think of the math for a minute, Jim. I mean, you get broad enough, you're going to find pissed off customers and disappointments and suggestions for improvement almost generically across any industry or any product category. So broadly speaking, the greater the breadth of communication happens. It's like the bell curve when you're grading.
Well, the reason I wanted to point that out, though, is you still have to realize that one of the powerful parts of social media as we know it today is this user-generated content.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to pay attention to that, because that is a little bit of a game changer, I think, John.
Yeah, and I think you're right.
Maybe a lot of a game changer.
Yeah, they're literally personalizing what you say and what you do, mm-hmm. and I agree that, you know, in the old days, because the media was one way you could declare something, everybody sort of took it, and I could either accept it or leave it.
Today,
feed it back to you.
That's exactly right to you. Hey, Jonathan, will you come back another day? Let's keep talking about this.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
The new book, Histories of Social Media, available right now. Give us a website quickly, Jonathan.
Yeah, it's historiesofsocialmedia.com, or look for me, Jonathan Salem Baskin, and would appreciate
your help. Talk to you later. Quick break.
Hey, Andy.
Hey.
How's the presentation coming along?
Oh, it's going to be great.
What was that?
Oh, I hired a wacky radio morning show sound effects guy to punch up the presentation a bit. It'll make us look better.
You think? You know, Andy.
Susan.
If you really wanted to impress everyone, you could have used FedEx Office Print Online.
Really? How is that better than gratuitous sound effects?
Well, with FedEx Office Print Online, you just upload the presentation and they'll print, assemble, and ship it. So it's there waiting for you. I use it all the time.
Hmm, that does sound impressive. But can we still do this?
No.
Okay, how about this?
Uh-uh.
This?
I don't think so.
How about one of these?
No.
Well, maybe we don't need a wacky radio morning show sound effects guy.
Probably not, no.
We understand. You want to look professional. We'll print, bind, pack, and ship your presentations with FedEx Office Print Online.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-9000.
1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Business owners, you're the driving force of American ingenuity, always forging ahead to provide jobs, build success, and better your community. But how do your friends on Capitol Hill reward you? With overregulation and even more restrictive employment laws. You're under constant government scrutiny, facing perilous legal pitfalls, getting slammed with harsher penalties if you can't comply. For most, the cost and risk of doing business will skyrocket out of control. But for you, confidence will skyrocket, knowing that you're in control. With Administab by your side every step of the way, helping you protect your business, get ahead, and reach your goals. One stroke of the pen can dramatically change your business and your life. Make the call, 877-273-6011, or visit Administab.com today.
Okay, everyone, I call this meeting because I want to introduce you to our newest employee. I call him Al. Voila!
Hello, I am Al.
Al is the world's most highly advanced supercomputer. He knows everything.
I know everything.
He's going to help us solve our international shipping problems.
I compute that you've been selling company secrets.
Huh?
You lied on your resume.
Well, just my age.
You're parked in a handicapped space today.
Stub my toe.
You've been sleeping in the office every night.
Stop that, Al.
Problems at home.
Phil, hand me that folding chair.
Yes, sir.
Al.
Ooh. Sir, why don't we just use FedEx Express for our international shipping needs?
Good thinking, Phil.
FedEx Express flies more cargo around the world than anyone else.
FedEx Express will take care of all our international shipping needs.
You've been stealing petty cash.
It's my company.
It's Daddy's company.
But he said I could... Daddy!
We understand. You want international shipping made easy. Reach customers in over 220 countries and territories with simple and helpful tools from FedEx.
You're listening to the man whose mother still thinks he should try to get a real job.
Dear folks, I got this great job in a gas station. I don't want to say how much I'm getting, but let's just say it's a lot. I'm enclosing $2.
That's a good boy.
Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. We got our good friend Karen Kerrigan back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Karen is the founder and the president of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. She is an original member of the show, basically, not just a founding member of the Brain Trust. She's been with me since 1997. That's right. In less than the 30 days of me being on the air, Karen joined me for the first time and has somehow been able to do something to get her to keep coming back. And as you've heard me say many times before, pound for pound, nobody does more for small business than Karen Kerrigan. She's our good friend and one of my heroes. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you
here. Happy New Year to you.
I don't think
we've been able to talk, you know.
No.
2011 has rolled in.
And it's 1/12 gone, too, by the way. It's
oh,
hard.
Gosh.
Time flies, doesn't it, when you're having fun. Karen, the president last week delivered his State of the Union speech. And I didn't hear a lot in that speech for small business. In fact, I heard more things that troubled me about small business than were positive about. In fact, I think I heard him say the term small business once during the speech. What do you think?
Well, I think rhetorically, the president is trying to be a pro-business type of guy. And he's done some, cosmetic things and some personnel things, at the White House to beef up, I think, his business agenda. And we heard a lot about innovation and competitiveness. And you're right, we didn't hear a lot about small business and entrepreneurship. But we also didn't hear, you're right, a lot of specifics in his speech.
I think he's trying to sound like a pro-business president, but I don't think he actually knows how to do that, Karen.
Right. And and you've got to do more than just sound like one and, talk nice things about small business and say you're going to be small business. I mean, it all comes down to your actions and, you know, what the policy trends have been, not only in the past 2 years, but then what are the policies going to be moving forward? So mm-hmm. we're still looking at, you know, the same things we looked at last year, which is, the implementation of the health care law, the financial service overhaul bill.
He's still proud of his health care bill.
Regulatory.
He's still proud of his health care bill, isn't he?
Very much so. I mean, he did say, look, if you have ideas, you know, come to me to make it better. But he also said that, you know, while we were debating that bill, and he really didn't listen to the small business community.
Right. There were plenty of ideas that were offered. None were accepted.
Right. And we'll get rid of this 1099 provision. That's just sort of the tip of the iceberg.
But if it's that easy to get, my point is, if it's that easy to discard, why wasn't it easy to not put it in? Why did it? I mean, this is an example of not listening to what's good for or what may be harming small business. I mean, there were plenty of opportunities to take it out, but they refused to do that because it messed up their numbers.
Oh, I know, and
so that does not make small business owners comfortable with his message.
Well, right, and he did mention. The week prior to his State of the Union, he also did come out with his regulatory initiative, and, you know, that's sort of a wait and see, too, in terms of is he really serious about this, because if he is, then, the agencies are going to have to, in my opinion, relook at some of this,
right.
Some of these health care regs, and there should be some action on that. If he's really serious about lifting red tape and burdensome rules off of small business owners, there has to be tension between the White House and the regulatory agencies. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're going to be seeing that or not, because, as you know, they've been out of control. So, yeah,
right.
In terms of the speech, Jim, you're right. There really weren't a lot of specifics. He did talk about tax reform and certainty and moving to a fair system, a streamlined system. But again, with no specifics. And, you know, really to me, over the past month, it looked like the White House has been catering more toward the big business community
mm-hmm.
than small business. I mean, even last
mm-hmm.
year, the door has been open.
Well, how is that different from the last 2 years? You know, small business has got nothing but lip service for the last 2 years.
Right, right. But, you know, but I guess those the big business community would argue he didn't like any size.
Well, I agree, but when there were bailouts, the big guys got it. Small business didn't get any help. Not that we wanted bailouts. We just want the government out of our way. Karen, hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break, folks. Karen Kerrigan and I, we're going to delve into some of those specific regulations she mentioned earlier after these messages. 20 tails. Stay with us.
The joys of running your own business. The excitement of facing challenges head on. Being trampled by overpowering employment laws with steeper fines and harsher penalties. Having productivity ripped away. Choking on red tape as you sink under the oppressive weight of government intrusion. But don't worry. A good dose of financial health inhibiting healthcare reform should do the trick. Right? The Administaff Co-Employment Solution gives you the tools and resources to stay compliant, regain focus, achieve your goals, and beat the odds. We'll stand shoulder to shoulder to help bear the burden, share the employment risk, and give you the freedom to bring your dreams back to life. It's what we do. Take back control of your business. Make the call, 877-273-6011, or visit administaff.com today.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's BPLANS.com. From there, you can link to their main site, PaloAltoSoftware.com if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Mr. Kelleher. What are you doing here?
Well, we needed to save money, so we've closed the office.
We did?
And now we all work from home. Your home, actually.
That's kind of inconvenient for me, sir.
No, it's very convenient for you. You see, you're so close to the office now.
Yeah, but...
Oh, that'll be the rest of the office. Listen up, people. Company meeting in Frank's bedroom in 5 minutes.
Don't go in there.
Who is that?
That would be my wife.
Well, I'm sorry. This is a private meeting. She's going to have to leave.
Well, you know, sir, there are better ways for us to save money.
Nope. We ran the numbers, and taking over your home was pretty much the only option.
Well, we could use FedEx Ground.
FedEx Ground?
FedEx Ground is a cost-effective way to ship ground packages, and they have the fastest ground service to the most U.S. businesses.
Great idea, Frank. With FedEx Ground, we could save both time and money. We say let's have a toaster pastry to celebrate.
Mr. Kelleher, that's my toaster pastry.
Doesn't have your name on it. Strawberry.
We understand. You want better ways to save. FedEx Ground. Fast, reliable, and for less than you think.
Every day I get in the queue to get on the bus. Takes me to you. I'm so nervous.
Welcome back, 17 till. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're hanging out with us. Glad you're still here. We got our good friend Karen Kerrigan back on the show, an original member of our Brain Trust, the president of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. That's sbecouncil.org. My website, by the way, is smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you'll check that out, I think you'll find some things there that will help you with your small business. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. We'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon by email. And don't forget to take our poll question right there on the homepage, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the body of work Karen has deposited with us over the years is right there in her suite that we've created for her on our website at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Karen Kerrigan, we're talking about the president's speech a minute ago, and I want you to talk about some of the regulatory issues that I know you're working on. But one of the things that troubled me about the speech, and I predicted this the day before he gave his speech, I told my audience that they were going to, one of the things that they were going to hear is they were going to hear winners and losers. They were going to hear, and I wish it weren't so, but he proved me right. I predicted that President Obama would identify winners and losers. And that's one of the problems that I've got with government being so much involved in the marketplace is the government doesn't understand how the marketplace works. The government doesn't function the way the marketplace functions. The government likes elections where there are winners and losers. In the marketplace, you know, it's a little bit different. And another thing that bothered me about what he said was he talked about innovation. But when President Obama talks about innovation, he means government-led innovation, not market-led innovation. What do you think?
Oh, I agree with that. I think you're right on the winners and losers front. I mean, you know, definitely there is the, the favoritism that the administration has been showing, and they continue to talk about it, in his State of the Union and also through the visits that he's had throughout the country in terms of alternative energy and clean energy. And that's not to say that's a bad thing. We need to, look at different, energy sources. But at the same time, there's got to be a realization that there has to be a transition to that alternative energy right now is just not, ready for prime time in terms of the market. It's very expensive. But they continue to push that and continue to...
An electric car.
This is where the jobs are going to come from. But at the same time, he's saying, well, we need to tax, the oil companies and our existing energy industries in order to pay for that. So
right now, an electric car is 50% more than its gas engine counterpart.
And he's saying that at the same time that gas prices are going up. That we're beginning to see that tick up in gas prices, where supplies are getting limited. There's the permits are not happening. There's the whole offshore drilling issue, and now we have instability in the Mideast.
Yeah.
Incredible instability in the Mideast, and we know what that's going to do to the price of oil. That's going to drive that higher. So, yes, that is a problem. And rather than trusting the market and the private sector, the government sort of picks the winners and losers. It's the old industrial type policy.
Well, there's still no substantial market-based language coming out of the administration, and that's in my opinion, that's impeding the recovery.
Well, you're right, and it's not just the language, it's the action. I mean, the president can say all he wants to about innovation and making the U.S. competitive, and gee, he's going to roll back, you know, they're going to look at regulations and those that are burdensome. But if there's no action, and, you know, if businesses and investors, if they don't see that actually taking place, then there's not going to be the confidence that business owners and the private sector need to invest and create jobs. And so right now there is a credibility gap in that regard.
I have a recommendation for him, Karen. Here's one that I'd like for maybe – you know, maybe this will subliminally seek into his head, and through some miracle, he'll come up with this on his own. How about every regulation known to mankind to America has a sunset date, 5 years
right.
hence. 5 years hence.
Oh,
I'm gonna give you 5 years. Every regulation, every single regulation has to be reapproved every 5 years, and
right.
it has to be has to be justified as still being needed, or it dies.
Right. No, I agree. We've supported that. There's been that type of sunsetting regulation in the House and the Senate.
They don't have a problem sunsetting tax cuts.
Right.
How about Jim, regulations?
Jim, here's another important thing. Remember the president in his speech, he also said we have to allow the tax relief to expire for the upper income taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the small business owners. Those are entrepreneurs. Again, if you're calling for innovation and for investment and for our businesses to be the most competitive, but at the same time, you're not recognizing the fact that you're sucking the life out of the capital, you know, out of businesses who are going to need this to grow, to innovate, to invest, and create jobs. So there's that lack of understanding, and businesses are not going to have that confidence if there's
right.
like, well, look at this tax cut expires in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
The president is calling for an increase. So there's that uncertainty that continues to plague the entire economy.
Karen, give us your
whole tax issue sitting out there.
Give us your website, please.
It's www.sbecouncil.org.
SBEcouncil.org, that's Small Business
yes.
and Entrepreneurship Council. It's an organization I've been telling you about now, folks, for over 13 years, and I will continue to do so because, as I said, pound for pound, this organization does more to stand in the breach for you against unfair regulations and high taxes in Washington, D.C. and across the country. 20 Tintel, stay with us.
Hey, Richard, ready for the big presentation?
Yes, I am.
He's all ready. His middle name is Eddie. And he's as ready will ever be.
I didn't know your middle name was Eddie. I couldn't help but notice you have a Broadway chorus with you.
Well, I wanted to make a big impression for the presentation.
Well, if you really wanted to impress, you could have gone to FedEx Office. They'd help you print, copy, and finish your presentation.
FedEx Office? Is there one nearby?
Is it far?
Very far. Can we get there by car?
We could get lost.
Or bitten by frost.
Or maybe eaten by a jaguar.
Roar.
That's not annoying at all. Actually, there are nearly 1,700 FedEx Office locations. I use the one around the corner.
Hey, isn't there one around the corner?
Yes, I just said they
help. You really should have known about FedEx Office. Not a lot of words right with FedEx Office.
We understand. You want support close by. FedEx Office has nearly 1,700 convenient locations.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's BPLANS.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Business owners, you're the driving force of American ingenuity, always forging ahead to provide jobs, build success, and better your community. But how do your friends on Capitol Hill reward you? With overregulation and even more restrictive employment laws. You're under constant government scrutiny, facing perilous legal pitfalls, getting slammed with harsher penalties if you can't comply. For most, the cost and risk of doing business will skyrocket out of control. But for you, confidence will skyrocket, knowing that you're in control. With Administab by your side every step of the way, helping you protect your business, get ahead, and reach your goals. One stroke of the pen can dramatically change your business and your life. Make the call, 877-273-6011, or visit Administab.com today.
Welcome back, 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Having a great visit with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, the president and the founder of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. That's sbecouncil.org. Please go there and check it out. You've heard Karen's chief economist, Ray Keating, on the show before with their index. We did that, Karen, only a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago maybe, which is a great report on how the states are competitive or not. And depending on their attitude towards small business, and so folks, it's an organization that I support. I encourage you to support them, and I will promise you, when you go to bed at night, you'll feel like you've got somebody who's speaking for you up here, up in Washington D.C. Karen, again, thanks for the good work that you do. What are some of the specific things that you and your organization thinks that you can have an influence on with regard to this new direction that the president is claiming to be making?
Well, I think on the regulatory front, we can make some headway, particularly given the fact that the House is very committed to this under the leadership of Congressman Issa, who's the chairman of the Government Oversight and Reform Committee in the House. Mm-hmm. He's got a very aggressive regulatory agenda. We provided him, at his request, with a very long list of things that he and the committee can tackle right away to help that are getting in the way of job creation and investment. And there's other leadership in the variety of the other committees as well. You have Sam Gray, who's over the House Small Business Committee. So we've got so regulation is one of the things that we will be working on, and we do think that we could rein in, particularly when it comes to health care, addressing some of the specific regulations.
We're not going to have any trouble getting rid of the 1099 thing, are we?
No, we should.
I mean, that's pretty much, both parties are ready to do that, right?
Right, and they should do it. I mean, just do it and get rid of it next week or the week after. I mean, just sort of get that out of the way. But, you know, there's other things that are going to be driving up the cost of health care in the marketplace and taking away our choices. Very arcane things called the medical loss ratio rule, which has the potential to put health savings accounts and
right.
other types of, flexible health care plans.
Karen, one of the things that the president said really surprised me, and I gave him a hand for this, was he actually, the term malpractice, did he say tort reform or malpractice? What was his term that he used for that?
Well, it
was something to do with tort reform or something. With
medical liability reform.
There it is. Whatever he said, I don't remember his exact words, but that was very – I never heard those words come out of his mouth before.
Right, and like everything else, it's the details. Is it going to be, is it going
but to
be
But to actually
really...
say that, that's a movement, isn't it?
It is, but the White House has said that before, you know, in terms of the broader health care bill. It's a very little provision in their bill that, you know, does some piloting in the states that really is quite meaningless. Then, you know, again, is it going to be robust reforms that will really make a difference or, you know, things that really, you know, the trial lawyers can shrug off and say this isn't a problem at all.
They probably got some throwdowns that they'll contribute.
Oh, yeah. So we've got regulation. I mean, that's huge, Jim, in all the agencies, whether, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency.
Right.
Really, there's an anti-energy zealotry that's going on in that agency that is very dangerous for, our economy.
Right.
That can undermine
Do you think we'll be able to have any impact on that, on the EPA?
Oh, I do. I really do. I think the president, I think this instability in the Mideast and this wave of, that's happening in, that's happened in North Africa and throughout the Mideast is going to send shockwaves to the market. And it's going to be, realization that we've got to be
more self-sufficient,
producing energy over here and very quickly. And, you know, that the government, our government is getting in the way, these drilling permits, the okaying, then pulling back. And, I mean, essentially the administration has been toying with our energy industry in terms of, do you want us to produce or don't you want us to produce?
Karen, quickly, I got to wrap it up. Give us the website one more time, please.
Sure. It's sbecouncil.org. And please visit us and sign up for our e-news, and you'll get a lot of information on what's going on that impacts small business and how you can help us in our efforts to protect small business and promote entrepreneurship.
And we can still see how our member of Congress votes this year on small business issues right there too, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Check it out, folks. It's very enlightening. Thank you, Karen, for being here. Good job. Good work. We'll see you next time. Keep up the good work. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back after the news.
They say the third time's a charm, and for my business, it's definitely true with Administaff. I'm Lynn Meyer, president of IntegriView in Austin, Texas, and I became an Administaff client for the third time in 2009. As an independent reviewer for clinical research, IntegriView knows that personal attention to detail is critical to success. So when other companies said they offered the same personalized service as Administaff, only cheaper, we got wooed away twice, and we came back twice. When we were working to revamp employee communications, only Administaff took the time to sit and talk with every single employee one by one. It made a huge difference in morale and productivity for our business, and now we're here to stay.
IntegriView is just one of many recent Administaff success stories. Let's get started on yours. Call us at 877-273-6007 or download the top 10 HR strategies to lead the recovery at Administaff.com.
Why do we rely on just investing when there's another way? A way to measure success over a lifetime, not just a single day. Where you don't chase what's hot, you do what's right. And where there's one rule, the golden rule. We call it vanguarding. Vanguarding is a behavior, a philosophy, a call to action. So ask yourself, are you just investing or are you vanguarding? Learn more at vanguard.com or call us at 888-VANGUARD. All investments are subject to risk.
Autism is a lifelong spectrum disorder. So how do we provide for adults with autism? It's all about life, love, and health.
The focus is usually on children, but children do have a tendency to grow up.
That's Ellen Harrington Kane, Easter Seals Assistant Vice President of Medical Rehabilitation and Autism.
Parents understand that so long as their child is taken care of through the school system, that child has a place to go. Once they age out of services, many of them end up at home on the couch in front of the TV.
Families, not insurance companies, often end up paying for autism treatment and services.
Over the years, the parents start to worry about what's going to happen to my child when I'm no longer able to support them.
Easter Seals has a solution.
We would provide the supports that are necessary to allow people with autism to be employed. Families need financial planning for that person as they age. We also need more residential care. There just aren't very many places where a person can go live outside their family. One of the goals of Easter Seals is coordination of services. One of the key things that families need is how to find now what the services are.
To learn more about autism services and how to become a donor or volunteer, visit EasterSeals.com. I'm Christopher Springman, and it's all about life, love, and health.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Mr. Kelleher. What are you doing here?
Well, we needed to save money, so we've closed the office.
We did?
And now we all work from home. Your home, actually.
That's kind of inconvenient for me, sir.
Now, it's very convenient for you. You see, you're so close to the office now.
Yeah, but...
Oh, that'll be the rest of the office. Listen up, people. Company meeting in Frank's bedroom in 5 minutes.
Dude, don't go in there.
Who is that?
That would be my wife.
Well, I'm sorry. This is a private meeting. She's going to have to leave.
Well, you know, sir, there are better ways for us to save money.
Nope. We ran the numbers, and taking over your home was pretty much the only option.
Well, we could use FedEx Ground.
FedEx Ground?
FedEx Ground is a cost-effective way to ship ground packages, and they have the fastest ground service to the most U.S. businesses.
Great idea, Frank. With FedEx Ground, we could save both time and money. We say let's have a toaster pastry to celebrate.
Mr. Kelleher, that's my toaster pastry.
Doesn't have your name on it. Strawberry.
We understand. You want better ways to save. FedEx Ground. Fast, reliable, and for less than you think.
This is GAB1. GABRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Healthline, the world's leader in cell-resonant nutrition technology, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. Nothing can help you beat the fat game like this month's special, the New Year's Kit. When you combine the power to promote fat-controlling hormones from QuantumRx Adaptogen with the key nutrients to help the body burn stubborn fat in FatStat, and you clean house with the QuantumRx Cleanse Blend to get effective yet gentle intestinal cleansing, you've got the best way to shed ugly fat, the New Year's Kit. Get three kits for the price of two. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447. Experience for yourself nutrition that really works.
Tomorrow's a big day. It's the reason you kissed the kids and got in the cab this morning. It's why they invented energy drinks. It's why you joined Toastmasters and floss religiously. Tomorrow's why you haven't eaten dairy or broccoli in a week. If it weren't for tomorrow, those business cards you order would seem kind of silly. Tomorrow's big. And at Hilton Garden Inn, we know every big day will go much better with a perfect night before. When tomorrow's a big day, stay HGI tonight.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show, brought to you by FedEx for your small business needs. Administaff. Administaff is good for small business. And Palo Alto Software, makers of Business Plan Pro. And now, the man who teaches big business how to speak small business as a second language.
And now, I am going to teach some kids a lesson. I choose to take that literally.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. And we got some outstanding stuff lined up for you straight ahead this hour. You know, folks, this week, later this week on Thursday, I'm going to be in Philadelphia. I'm going to be working with four outstanding organizations there in the Philadelphia area. I'm going to be contributing to the Bloomberg Speaker Series, Bloomberg TV, one of our partners, and one of their partners, Comcast, and one of Comcast partners, the Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce, and one of the Philadelphia Chamber's partners, the Pierce College organization. So we got five organizations, counting mine, coming together. It doesn't take that many to get me somewhere, by the way, folks, but it just turns out that way. And this is a great example of partnering between chambers and local institutions like Pierce College and companies like national companies like Bloomberg TV and Comcast. And I'm just so proud to see how these different organizations are coming together to bring information and ideas and other voices to their small business members and small business communities in these areas. I was recently in Seattle doing the same thing, and basically the same thing happened. So I'm very excited about that. And Rob Wunderling is going to be with us in just a few minutes. He's the president of the CEO of the Greater Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce. And you know how much I love chambers. So he's going to be with us in the second half of the hour. Tom Markle is going to be with us. We're going to talk about the whole credit landscape for small business. He's with iBank.com. It's almost 9 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
You can do anything but half of my blues with you. But it's blue, 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 with you.
Hey, Andy.
Hey.
How's the presentation coming along?
Oh, it's going to be great.
What was that?
Oh, I hired a wacky radio morning show sound effects guy to punch up the presentation a bit. It'll make us look better.
You think? You know, Andy.
Susan.
If you really wanted to impress everyone, you could have used FedEx Office Print Online.
Really? How is that better than gratuitous sound effects?
Well, with FedEx Office Print Online, you just upload the presentation and they'll print, assemble, and ship it. So it's there waiting for you. I use it all the time.
Hmm, that does sound impressive. But can we still do this?
No.
Okay, how about this? This?
I don't think so.
How about one of these?
No.
Well, maybe we don't need a wacky radio morning show sound effects guy.
Probably not, no.
We understand. You want to look professional. We'll print, bind, pack, and ship your presentations with FedEx Office Print Online.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Ah, the joys of running your own business. The excitement of facing challenges head on. Being trampled by overpowering employment laws with steeper fines and harsher penalties. Having productivity ripped away. Choking on red tape as you sink under the oppressive weight of government intrusion. But don't worry. A good dose of financial health-inhibiting healthcare reform should do the trick, right?
The Administaff Co-Employment Solution gives you the tools and resources to stay compliant, regain focus, achieve your goals, and beat the odds. We'll stand shoulder to shoulder to help bear the burden, share the employment risk, and give you the freedom to bring your dreams back to life. It's what we do. Take back control of your business. Make the call, 877-273-6011, or visit administaff.com today.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. You know, folks, I mentioned earlier in the previous segment that I'm going to Philadelphia later this week, on Thursday, actually. I'm going to be I'm going to be speaking, I should say. I'm actually not going to be able to broadcast that day from there, because I'm going to be speaking, and I'm going to be addressing the audience, small business audience there in the Philadelphia area. These are people who are part of the local business community, the people who are associated with the Chamber of Commerce, people who are associated with Comcast, customers of Comcast. And so we're looking forward to that. I'm going to talk about the age of the customer. As you know, that's something I've been working on quite a bit lately, and have been talking to you about on the show. I've been writing about it quite a bit, and if you follow my writing, and so I'm going to be talking to them about that, talking to Philadelphia business community about that, and this is a partnership between this gathering that I'm going to be speaking to is something that's been pulled together by Bloomberg TV, by Comcast, by the Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce, and hosted by Pierce College there in Philadelphia. So I'm looking forward to that. And you know, this example to me is something that it just fits so perfectly with something that I've been telling you about now for just about 10 years probably. And that's the concept of how to think about your customers, how you should think about your customers. And by that I mean, if you've got customers, especially if they're business to business, I want you to think about don't think about the transaction between you and them. Don't think about, okay, they need a widget, I sell widgets, I'm going to sell them a widget, they're going to give me the money, I'm going to take their money, give them the widget, and they're going to and then they go home and I go home. Don't think about it like that. That's 19th century thinking. That's some maybe part of 20th century thinking. But you can't survive that way. You can't stay in business for long that way, folks, if you continue to think like that. If you always think about it as just the sort of the monofaceted transaction between you and a customer. If you're going to be successful in the 21st century, one of the things you're going to have to do when you think about your customers, look right through them to their customer and think about, okay, what is the transaction that's happening between my customer and their customer? Now at the moment, I'm talking about business to business. In a little bit, I'm going to talk about business to consumer. But what is the transaction between my customer and their customer? And what causes that transaction to happen? What is it that I could do with me and my company? What could we do? What could I do to help the transaction that my customers have with their customers happen more often? What can I contribute? What does it take? And you know what, folks? The first thing you got to do is just do what I just said. And that's just imagine that there is one of those, that there is a transaction. And think about that first instead of the transaction with you and your customer. Think about the other transaction that's one off from you. and try to imagine what could I possibly do to make that happen more often and to a greater degree. And then while you're thinking about that, and once you've come to maybe a few ideas, you've got a few ideas, then go ask your customer. Don't ask your customer, will you buy my stuff? How much of my stuff do you need? When would you like for me to deliver my stuff? Don't ask them those questions. Ask them about that other relationship. Go to your customer and say, Sue, your customers, the people you serve, tell me about that relationship. Talk to me about how that works. Tell me about, who are your customers? What motivates them? What are you trying to do to connect with them, to serve them, to build a partnership with them, to be integrated with those customers? What are you doing about that? Don't even talk about your company. Talk about your customer's relationship with their customer. Ask them those kinds of questions. And literally, your job is to not care what they say. Your job is to not care at all what comes out of their mouth. It's just to listen, to take notes, and tell them. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to take some notes because I just want to make sure that I understand the issues, the things that you're facing in the marketplace. And I promise you, your customers will talk, and they'll let you write down what they tell you. I promise you they will. And so make those notes, and then maybe you may not have an answer at that moment. You may have to say, I'm going to think about this, and I'm going to come back, but I just want to think about, I want to find out what I can do to help you. But maybe perhaps in that conversation, they would tell you about these things, and you would say, well, if there's one thing that you could use some help with to make that happen more often, those transactions happen more often, what would that be? And when they tell you, maybe it's something you can do. Maybe it's something you can do for nothing, that you could do falling off a log that would cost nothing. You just didn't know they needed it. And you could throw that in. Well, guess what? If you uncover something, whether it's going to cost you something to fix or not, just by uncovering, just by asking the question, you will have become a partner. And you will have made yourself a little more valuable to your customers. So this is the 21st century, part of the 21st century thinking I've been talking about for a long time, folks. Think about helping your customers help their customers. And when you get really, really good at it, you'll be able to help your customers help their customers help their customers. That's exactly right. That far out away from you. You'll be able to do that. And this thing I'm doing in Philadelphia this week, it starts with Bloomberg, it goes to Comcast, it goes to the Chamber of Commerce, it goes to Pierce College, and it goes to small business owners in the area. That's the kind of partnering that we've all got to do in the marketplace. When we come back, I want to talk about how to do this with consumers. How about that?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.